The Fox drama The Resident returns from hiatus tonight with the return of Malcolm Jamal Warner as A.J. Austin, a surgeon who falls in love with a colleague, played by Shaunette Renee Wilson.
We are both passionate and opinionated people, inside and outside of the operating room.
So we need ground rules.
Exactly. Inside these walls, we keep it strictly professional at all times.
Agree. No physical contact of any kind.
Well, we can table that part of the discussion for later. But for now, in general, it's understood that we will not always agree.
Like your choice of OR music, a bypass should never be performed to the blues.
Warner is a multi-talented man. He's an actor, director, poet, and musician who will also forever be known as Theo Huxtable, Cliff and Claire's only son on The Cosby Show. And depending on how old you are, you actually watched Malcolm grow up right before our eyes through a show that took on serious topics with humor.
You guys, I'm dyslexic.
Malcolm Jamal Warner joined me for a conversation on a Zoom call to talk about The Resident and his enduring career. And the moment he got on screen, I couldn't resist asking him about his lush beard.
It's a beast. Every single take, I take my mask off, then someone comes and picks my beard out, and then someone comes from wardrobe with a lint brush to make sure there's no hair on my ward. It's a whole process, and it happens every single take.
From there, we got down to business. Your character is A.J. Austin, high-powered surgeon, the best at what he does,
Yes. Also
kind of a jerk.
Yes.
Attributes I've heard you say you don't allow yourself to be in real life. How fun is it to embody someone who is completely different than yourself?
It's awesome. I think other roles that I've done may have been a little more Malcolm infused, but to play someone who was really, you know, so out of what people are used to seeing me do is really the most fun. You can look at the show and not see Theo.
Absolutely. And do I have this right that before the pandemic, when you all were shooting season 3 of The Resident, you all were actually playing out a storyline very similar to what we're seeing with the pandemic? There was a superbug.
Yeah. You know, those episodes were conceived and written, you know, long before the COVID-19 pandemic. It was so surreal to watch unfold.
Yeah. I mean, you know, this season is really a nod to the hardworking, selfless medical professionals who are really putting themselves and their lives on the line to care for us. I mean, of course, I know you always want to get a character right, but do you feel an extra duty to get this right?
Definitely. For us, it's a wonderful opportunity to shine light and to represent, you know, the healthcare workers and the frontline workers who really are the real life superheroes. And we've been getting wonderfully positive feedback from healthcare workers. I think when you have people in the medical field watching your medical drama and actually like it, that's always been a big thing for us. But now it's even more so because they're watching a show that fully represents them. The stress, the fatigue, just all of that.
Yeah, it's a moving watch. Well, we know you, as you said, a Theo of The Cosby Show. But you're also a poet and you're also a musician. And those who came of age at a time in the 90s, like myself, I'll raise my hand. I knew that you were a spoken word artist. But this is something you knew you wanted to do from the time you were like 6 years old?
Yeah. I proclaimed to my parents that I was either going to be a famous actor, a famous poet, or a famous basketball player. So I got 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
My dad was very proactive in sparking that in me. You know, I was always reading books. He always had me reading poetry books. You know, one of my favorite books growing up was a book called Poems on the Life and Death of Malcolm X.
As a little boy.
Yeah. Well, my father named me after Malcolm X.
Right.
You know, So he set me up and I didn't realize it until I was about 15. I remember calling my dad up saying, dude, you set me up. You know, you can't be named after Malcolm X and Ahmaud Jamal and, you know,
not do something great.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're also a bass player, something that you took up as a hobby.
Yeah, it was, you know, that was at a point in my life where the joy for acting had begun to wane. And I realized I needed a hobby that had nothing to do with acting or directing. So I figured I'm going to pick up an instrument. I'm not going to record any CDs. I'm not going to start a band. I'm not going to be one of those corny actor dudes who want to do music.
Because a band, like, on the
I'm
side.
Just going to do
yeah.
it. And then it turned out to be another career.
Yeah. You're actually a Grammy Award winner. You won a Grammy in 2015 for your contribution to Robert Glasper's Experiments remake of Stevie Wonder's Jesus Children of America. Let's listen.
Silly songs of laughter in the life after hurt, ego, and misguided pride, which lead to lies the soul can no longer stand to bear. But I see 20 children standing there, beaming bright in angel light as they take flight.
This poem was inspired by the tragedy at Sandy Hook. Can you tell us the story?
I was actually just hanging out with Robert at the studio, and he's playing me this musical break part of it. He was telling me how one of his buddies was doing a poem about Sandy Hook. And then about 2 weeks later, Robert was back in town. I went back to the studio just to hang out because he was mixing the record now. And he says, listen, you know, my buddy can't do the poem because his buddy's daughter was one of the kids at Sandy Hook. In the 11th hour, it was just too close to home. And Robert asked me if I had a poem about Sandy Hook. I was like, no. I said, but give me the track and I'll go upstairs and I'll write one. You know, about an hour later, he came upstairs and I spit it for him. He was like, that's it. Yeah. So we had no idea. For it to be nominated for a Grammy was one thing, but to actually win, it was a great confirmation or reaffirmation in terms of the artistry and the substance behind the words.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, Malcolm, it occurred to me that the role you play in society as an actor and as a poet and as a musician, I mean, the thing about having this role is that you reflect society back to itself. You know, you remind us of who we are and the potential of what we're capable of. I mean, it's a big reason why Theo Huxtable resonates so deeply with us and The Cosby Show in general, because it was a lightning rod in that regard. I actually consciously remember when I was a young girl thinking, when I have children, I'll be able to show them The Cosby Show because of what it represented. But, you know, now I am a mom, and like most people, I grapple with that. I haven't shown it to them. And that's really painful. Is it painful for you?
It's very surreal. Two things I have to say. On my last album, Selfless, there's a song called Brand New Day.
Mm.
And at the end of that song, I talk about how I'm holding out for that iconic love like Cliff and Claire. So I put that record out September 2015, which was the same month I met my wife.
Oh.
So that's the one thing. Like, I've always patterned my love relationships after Cliff and Claire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not Mr. Cosby and Felicia, but Cliff and Claire.
Mm-hmm.
So I watch the show now with my three-year-old daughter.
You do?
Yeah. She watches the show. As far as she's concerned, the show is called Rudy's Family.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And she
and
knows
you're just like a sidekick to Rudy.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and she knows it's me. She's like, that's Papa, but she wants to see Rudy. But, you know, I watch the show with her, and I completely understand the struggle that some people, you know, have with being able to enjoy the show, you know, in the midst of the present controversy around
with
the show.
Bill Cosby, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
You know, I think, you know, for me, there's so much that show has done for American culture, for Black culture, for the global perspective of Black people. There's so much of that work that cannot be undone.
Mm. And it was at a time where we did not have... Just collectively as a nation, we were all watching three networks, basically. It captured our attention in a way that is universal, Even beyond race. We as Black folks know what it means for us, but I could sit down and talk with anyone, and they know you, and they know the characters, and they know the storyline. Yeah. That's a really powerful legacy. Do you hold that within you in your day-to-day life today?
I think I probably hold it more now. But there definitely have been times that, you know, I've had to be reminded. There was this push and pull, being proud of the show, being proud of being a part of that show. But at the same time, because of its popularity, you know, it also hindered how people, you know, could see me beyond Theo.
Yeah, you wanted to be Malcolm.
Yeah, and I wanted to be an actor. I wanted to be able to work and not just be cast in the same type of things or be told no based on what they've watched previously. But the older I get, you know, I go back to that era. I go back to, you know, what the Cosby Show gave to us as a culture. Again, as a Black culture, as an American culture, I hold all of that. And it's a, you know, I'm still proud to be a part of that show. I'm still proud of the legacy. I'm still proud of the timelessness and how much even in 2021, that show is still important and relatable. It's evergreen.
Yeah, it really is. Malcolm Jamal Warner, thank you so much for this conversation.
Thank you so much.
Deaf, dumb, blind. Halfway out of my mind.
Malcolm Jamal Warner's show, The Resident, airs tonight on Fox. And check out our extended conversation on love and marriage and raising kids. That's at hereandnow.org.